Thank you for standing. You may be seated. And don't you worry. I hear some little ones. It's okay. We've got folks, young people, we're trying to train, amen, to sit in church, amen. And when you're 2, 3, or 4, sometimes you make a noise or two, and that's okay, amen, church. We're working on them. The problem is when you're 54 and you make a lot of noise in church, then I get a little upset, amen. All right, just looking at the lesson sheet, and by quickly, we'll review the first 2 points here, and I'm just going to fly right through and get us to point number 3. Introduction, verse 9 of the Epistle of Jude amplifies the last 2 statements of verse 8, where the Word of God records that apostates despise dominion and speak evil of dignities. And then Jude cites the character in the Bible that sums up a lack of proper respect for authority. And of course, we know that is Satan himself. Point number 1, the account. And of course, we went back there to Deuteronomy chapter 34. This is a sad story in the Word of God. God in His mercy brings Moses to the top of Mount Pisgah to see the promised land before he dies. Moses, because of his sin, recorded in Numbers chapter 20, verses 7 through 12, was not permitted to enter the land that floweth with milk and honey. Of course, we remember that. God said to speak to the rock, and Moses had just had enough. His temper finally got a hold of him, and he smote the rock twice. And of course, if you read 2 Corinthians 10, we know that rock was Christ, amen, smitten for our sins. But Moses then dies on your outline here, and God himself performs the funeral, according to verse 9. However, prior to the burial, there is a dispute between Michael and the devil concerning Moses' body. This account is not recorded anywhere else in the Bible. There are several accounts like this that we must take on faith, and we listed them there, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Jesus' statement concerning giving in Acts 20, 35, where Paul said, our Lord said, it's more blessed to give than receive. And we have no doubt that the Lord said that, it just was not recorded in the Gospels, amen. Jannes and Jambres withstanding Moses in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. Elijah's prayer in James 5:17 says he prayed that it might not rain, and he prayed that it would rain. That prayer is not recorded in the Old Testament. Lot's inner struggle in Sodom. We understand that, according to 2 Peter, that his righteous soul was vexed. You'd never get that by reading the passage there in Genesis 18 and 19. And then the last one, Enoch's prophecy in our book of Jude here. And we just have a little statement here from John Phillips, a good writer. Jude, under the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit, records incidents recorded nowhere else in the Bible. After all, the ultimate author of the Bible is the Holy Spirit, and he can reveal what he wants, to whom he wants, when he wants. And all God's people said, amen. Number 2, the angels. We have here, there are only 3 angels' names recorded in the scriptures. The first one there, number 1, is Michael, and his name means who is like unto God. He is the only angel called an archangel in the Bible. Many will contend that Lucifer was also an archangel. That may be true, but simply when there is debate, we rest on the scriptures. Amen. Michael is the only one called an archangel. He withstands evil and leads angels into war. Okay? Michael. Number 2, Gabriel. Another great name, means man of God. Okay? He is always mentioned with announcements from God, and he had the privilege of telling Mary of the birth of Jesus. And obviously the last angel, we would say probably the most famous of the angels, was Lucifer. His name means brightness or light bearer. He was one of only 2 angels that covered God's throne. He also had some authority regarding music, and we gave you the cross references there. He fell through pride and took 1/3 of the angels to fall with him. Okay. Number 3, this is where we ended up here. We ended up on those first 2 points. Number 3, we not only have the account and the angels, we have the arguments in Jude verse 9. Look at it. It says, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. Okay. It's very, very interesting to look at this when you think about this. In a little bit of modern light, the body of Moses would have been a precious treasure for Satan and his work of idolatry. Ladies and gentlemen, again, this is not, it's not a sermon against Rome, but listen, what happens when they find the Shroud of Turin? People worship. What do they claim that the Shroud of Turin? It was literally the napkin that was wrapped around Jesus' face. They worship the item instead of the one who died and rose for their sins. Amen. And if you want an example of that in the Bible, we've listed one here, cross reference, and you have a couple blanks there. The brazen serpent. The brazen serpent. Go. Let's go to these cross references here. Numbers chapter 21. You want to see a perfect example of the devil taking something used of God and then made it into an idol. In Numbers chapter 21, this is a great story. Numbers is just full of great stories. I've been reading through Numbers and just read about, I'm getting ready to develop a message on grasshopper faith. What do they say? So they look, those 10 spies that nobody knows their name, they looked into the promised land and they said, look, there's giants. We're like grasshoppers. Amen. That's what little faith does. Amen. No faith at all. And old Caleb and Joshua locked arms and says, we can take them. We can take them. Amen. We listen, God's on our side. Amen. I like it. I like it. Chapter 21 of Numbers, look at verses 8 and 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh on it, shall live. And Moses made the serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he held the serpent of brass, he lived. I have a message from the Lord. Hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. Hey, that was a great story. Amen. This time, and they were bitten by fiery serpents because they were disobedient. But God provided a way of salvation. This brass serpent. Go over to 2 Kings chapter 18. 2 Kings chapter 18. And Jesus actually referenced that brass serpent, didn't he, in John chapter 3, verse 14. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Why? That whoever believeth in him shall have everlasting life. But go to 2 Kings chapter 18, look at verse number 4. Here's the devil. Look what it says. He removed the high places. Okay, talking about the king here. Okay, he removed the high places and break the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan, garbage. That's what it means, Nehushtan. You say, what are you trying to say there, Pastor? Listen, the devil is very, very into idolatry. And if you don't think that he could have taken, if he was able to take the body of Moses and make it into an idol, you're fooling yourself. Because, listen, everybody respects Moses. All the major religions respect Moses, especially the Jews. They revere Moses. What did they say when Jesus came and told them the truth? They said, well, we know about Moses, but we don't know anything about this man. We're Moses' disciples. So here on your outline, however, Michael withstands him, not in his own strength, but in the strength of the Lord, and says, the Lord rebuke thee. There's a lot of preachers that deal with Satan in the flesh. They call him names. Brother Jones, I'm going to tell you something. That's foolish. That is foolish. The devil is a powerful creature. He's not omnipresent. He's not omnipotent. He's not omniscient. But you listen to me. He's a lot bigger and more powerful than you. It'd do you a lot better to say, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus rebuke you. Listen, the blood of Christ, I rebuke you in the name of the blood of Christ. All these things, this idea of calling him names. No. If Michael, who's the only one called an archangel and was probably more powerful than Satan, said the Lord rebuke thee, I think that's a great example for us that we would look to that. Number 4, we see the application in verses 8 and 9.
This is, I believe, what we can apply to our own lives here. In verses 8 and 9, it says, "Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities." But Michael, when he was contending with the body, with the devil about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation. Mark this down, ladies and gentlemen, on your outline, the application. It is a mark of apostasy to speak evil of authority. It's a mark of apostasy, of course, starting with God, but any authority, God, okay, God's man, God's church, not only that, but also political authority. Okay, go back to just a couple pages to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, chapter number 2, verse 10. A very, very similar passage to Jude is found in 2 Peter chapter 2. It says there, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10, "But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities." That's something I want to get across tonight on your outline. As Christians, we are commanded to speak evil of no man. I mentioned tonight Elena Kagan, okay? Listen, I just want to point out what the Bible has to say about her. Amen? What the Bible has to say about her policies. I'm not talking about her as a person. Who she is, what, because I think here's something we can see. Those who are in authority are ultimately there by the placement and permission of God. That's something we don't like, but it's true. I want you to look at these verses. Let's go to Daniel chapter 4, verse 17. A tremendous verse. A verse that has helped me many a November night. When I looked at the exit polls, it said, "My goodness, what is happening to our country?" Daniel chapter 4, verse 17. A verse you should mark. Here's Nebuchadnezzar. "This matter is by decree of the watchers and demand of the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men." And to us we'd say, amen. God rules, God reigns, "and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men." The worst of men sometimes are in authority. I want you to go over to Romans chapter 13, a verse that every Christian ought to be familiar with. I don't tell you what to believe in politics, but this is one of the verses that convinces me of capital punishment in Romans chapter 13. But especially verse 1, getting to what we're saying here, that those in authority are there by the placement and permission of God. Chapter 13, verse 1 says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers." And let me just stop for a second. This is the Apostle Paul under the thumb of Rome writing this. Okay? Let us understand that, ladies and gentlemen. He's not just giving us some flowery words from somebody that's up in some palace. He's literally under Rome's thumb, and he says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." Want the greatest example of this? When Jesus Christ stood before the coward Pilate. The one that would try to wash his hands of the blood of Jesus, and he's been trying to wash him in hell for 2,000 years. What did Jesus say to him? He said, "Don't you know I have the power to crucify you?" What did he say? He said, "You could have no power except to be given thee of God." Amen? Amen. And so here we're looking at this, and if you want the verse there on capital punishment, verse number 2, "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For the rulers are not a terror unto good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have the praise of the same. For he is the minister of God, to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon them that do evil. He doesn't bear the sword in vain, that one that's been appointed. And so they're there by the placement and permission of God. And so I want you to understand, ladies and gentlemen, as Christians, I believe we can never apostatize from the faith, but apostasy can creep in. And if you're not careful, we'll get saying things like, well, that's stupid Obama. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, that's President Obama. Now, you may not like him and you may not like his policies. And listen, I'm no apologist for the Obama administration, but God allowed him to take that office. The next line in our outline says, one day we will give an account for how we pray. 1 Timothy 2:2, pray for kings and rulers that we may lead a good and quiet, peaceable life. And for what we say regarding authority as Christians. We're given account for how we pray and for what we say. And what's James 1:26 tell us? If any man bridleth not his tongue, his religion is in vain, the Bible says. Again, I'm not saying you can't call people out on their policies and you can't say what the Bible says. Furthest thing from it, ladies and gentlemen. But if we're not careful, this attitude of rebellion to authority can creep into the church of God. It can creep in. And it's got no place here. Amen? It has no place here. Listen, I don't even like the term. I know they use it among themselves. I don't like the term cop. I don't like that term. I don't want my son to have calling people cops. They're police officers. They're officers of the law. You know, you may want to call them that, and that's a personal preference to me. I want them to have respect for authority. I want to have respect for people that bear the uniform and protect us, serve and protect us. If we're not careful, this application of apostasy here can creep into the church, that idea of speaking evil of authority. May it not, let it not be said, ladies and gentlemen. If we need to repent of that, we need to repent of that, whether we like it or not. Amen. Listen, I understand that we get frustrated. We get frustrated. I'm going to preach a message on Sunday about our country. And listen, our country started out with a bright light, and it's getting dark. And it's getting dark. But you know, the darker it gets, ladies and gentlemen, the closer we are to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is His plan, amen? It's His plan, it's not ours. So what we need to do is we need to pray, and we need to watch what we say about authority. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for Your love for us, and thank